My name is Rusty Mackey, and you're listening to The Art of Stability. Hey, folks, and welcome back to The Art of Stability, where I have conversations with old and new friends to hear how they're navigating the challenges of life while staying grounded to Jesus in the midst of it all. On today's episode, I talk with Becca Mason. Becca is a single mom to two wonderful kiddos. Becca is the executive director of Revoice, which exists to see gay and same-sex attracted people who adhere to historic Christian teaching about marriage and sexuality experience peace and belonging in their local faith communities. As a side B Christian, someone who identifies as gay and embraces a life of celibacy to follow Jesus, Becca gets all kinds of flack from both the political right and left. Yet, she's the kind of person that when an online troll calls her a woke blue-haired Jezebel, Becca makes that her Twitter handle. Becca is one of the most biblically grounded and faithful women I know. She fiercely stands up for those she loves and does it with kindness. You'll enjoy today's conversation where we talk about enduring criticism, the scariness of getting what you want, and our deep need for companions on our journey. Stay with us and enjoy Woke Blue-Haired Jezebel with Becca Mason. Becca, one of the things that I have noticed about you over the years is that given just your theology, your work, your life, you tend to find yourself kind of too progressive for some and too conservative for others. So you find yourself in this kind of in-between place. And the thing that I've really admired about you in that place is that you just have this endurance to stay steadfast to your convictions. Yet you're also, and I think this part is so hard, you're also kind to people who are either like disagreeing with you or even attacking you. And so you strive to stay connected to them. So that endurance to stay true to your convictions and connected to others is just something I really appreciate about you. And And I would love to hear what the story of that development has been in your life. Is that something that you're like intentionally working at, or is it just come naturally for you? Yeah. What's the story about that?
Oh man, I wish it came naturally for me because it does not. I am naturally very super competitive. And so it has been part of definitely spiritual development and sanctification for the Lord to help me see that winning an argument doesn't make friends. It doesn't generally change people's souls or thoughts or even opinions on things. And has taken years of really just a softening of recognizing that other people are not competitors to be beaten, but are either siblings in Christ or potentially siblings in Christ. And that either way, that should take a different perspective than them being competition to beat. It works really well when I was an athlete. I played sports for years and years and years. So I think that was part of where that came from. But really, I've focused a lot on the idea from the passage that talks about taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. And that's something I've had to do very intentionally in order to change thought patterns because I like routine. I like doing the same kinds of things. And so making those changes has had to be something that's very intentional for me. And part of that has been finding those passages or even phrases of scripture that the Holy Spirit uses to convict me and dwelling on them. And so part of that specific thing of working to show grace to people is out of Ephesians 6, just that we do not battle against flesh and blood, that people are not our enemies. It is the ideas, the powers and principalities that are in the world, the spiritual deception that a lot of people experience, but not the person themselves. And so really being convicted by that and then attempting to make that change has been the focal point of, gosh, probably the last decade or so, because it's taken that long to work through it. Definitely softening edges before the Lord was able to effectively use me for much.
I love that idea of softening edges before the Lord can use you for much. God often has to do that with us, doesn't he? And if I'm hearing you correctly, kind of some of the being stuck in between, you know, different viewpoints, different people, folks kind of attacking you, that has been what, that has been the softening bit. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. Of being able to see myself as I could possibly be wrong about this. So a lot of it was taking that humbling of just because I think I'm right doesn't necessarily mean that I am. And I may change a position. I may learn something new. We may both be partially right and we're both missing something. So we need to listen and be able to come together. And so really just a recognizing that we need to learn from people. We need to learn from each other. And we need to be able to, that idea of iron sharpening iron is a huge part of it too, that I never really like to think of people as, you know, this really hard metal, but when we are constantly being pulled in that tension and rubbing against one another, it does, it softens and smooths us out. And if we avoid it, we just stay grouchy iron.
True.
I don't want to be grouchy iron, you know? And the pressure and the tension in the moment can be really painful and exhausting. But on the other side of it, it's always been worth it because I've gained a different perspective. I've been able to develop more empathy. And just understanding where your supposed opposition is coming from helps you better be able to develop your belief to communicate it in a way that you might be able to help them understand where you're coming from better.
Yes. I think what you're sharing is so important for us to hear, especially after the past 18 months or so, where much of the world, I know a lot of pastor friends and a lot of Christians, where, you know, they're just talking about the same gospel they've been talking about their whole life. Yeah. And now they're getting labeled as being either too progressive or too conservative. And that's been really disorienting for a lot of people. And so I think you're someone we can look to who's been kind of living in that tension for a long time. And you're sharing that, yes, it's hard and it's painful, but it's also good because it's part of our growth, and it can be part of our growth.
Exactly.
When you think about, you know, not only trying to connect with brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters, but also just enduring that yourself, you mentioned the humility and kind of being willing to be wrong and hearing from others. How do you navigate just the hardness of it? Just the stress of being in conflict with people like that?
That's been a lot of trial and error too. And mostly learning that I cannot do it on my own, which has been another difficult lesson, that no man is an island. And I would like to be a lot of times, you know. I think that it's only a success if I've done it on my own, which is just a lie from the pit of hell. It's caused a lot of trouble and a lot of issue in my life. And realizing and recognizing that God created us to be in community, and that if we are bearing one another's burdens, that means somebody has to be around to help you bear it. And so the more that I've really walked in full-time ministry and understanding that, the more intentional I've had to be about surrounding myself with community of people who are in similar places that are experiencing the same or similar types of conflict or discussion, and having that place where you know you're not going to be judged. If you need to have a moment of just, you know, 5 years ago, I would have responded with blah, 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 and just kind of like being able to recognize that this is who I used to be and this is who I want to be. But right now, I really want to be old man more than new man, and them helping you kind of work through that. So I have two specific groups of friends that really helped me with that. One is a couple of people that are fellow writers and ministry leaders that we have just ongoing conversation about what's going on in culture and on social media and how we present ourselves in public as trying to be as charitable as we can. That's one thing with the Pelican Project that I work with. One of our commitments to one another is to be charitable online. And so there are lots of times that I'll either get a text from somebody and they're like, hey, I just saying, you know, hey, I see that conversation going on Twitter, and not a judging, but them just knowing me well enough to know if you keep this up, you're going to fight that person. Yeah. And me just remembering, you know, I have a group of people who we hold one another accountable and we encourage one another to be charitable in those conversations online. And then another is a group that's here locally, and we meet on a weekly basis to pray and to talk about scripture and just what's going on in our lives in general. So it's not ministry specific as far as vocational work, but just how's your life? How's your spiritual development going? And having those two groups of people has been vital to not burning out.
Thank you for sharing those specifics. And I hope for everyone listening that they can have groups like that as well.
Yeah, you got to find the people.
Yeah, it just dawned on me as you were sharing that, you know, if you find yourself in a situation where you are being judged, how important is it to then have a safe group of friends who are not judgmental, as you said?
Right.
And there really does need to be that balance there.
Yeah.
Becca, if you would be willing, can you share with us a story of a time where instability struck, and kind of just give us a little snapshot of that moment of your life and how you navigated that instability?
Yeah. The most recent one is one that I'm sure a lot of people can understand. It's that transition from one type of ministry or one work to another, that I recently became the executive director at Revoice, and I've been doing that full time for almost a year and a half now. But before that, I was in education for 16 years. And the entire time that I was in the classroom, I felt strongly that I was supposed to be doing some sort of ministry work in this realm of sexuality and gender, and never could see, like, how am I going to get out of education into this work? You know, God, why am I still here? What am I doing? And it being this journey for 16 years of seeing how vital those 16 years were to preparing me for what I'm doing now. And when it actually came time to make that jump and that transition, I was like, oh, hold up. But I really like this now, which was really surprising to me, because I'd spent like the first half of my educational career, like, looking for any way out. Like, I was some sort of trapped animal, and I loved it, but I was like, this is not where I'm supposed to be. And when it was finally time and this was presented before me, it was like, but I really like where I am, and I love this school, and it's where my kids go, and we've got this community, and I just don't really know about this, God, you know, like, what's up with your timing on this? So looking at that time period of, you know, when you're anticipating something and you're like, I know this is the direction God is taking me, and you kind of have this idea in your mind of what your end goal is, but the journey to get there has been so ridiculous. It's reminded me a lot of, like, the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. I'm certain, you know, like, they were like, we know we're going to the promised land, but I do not understand why it's taking us 40 years to get there.
Yeah.
That was really sort of that experience. The fact that after all those years of thinking, this is what I wanted, this is what God wanted me to be doing, and then him finally saying, it's time, it made it very real. And that was terrifying, because it was, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, but it was all theoretical. And so now when it's suddenly there, and you think, oh, I don't know that I can do that. Like, I'm really comfortable with what I'm doing now. It's familiar. It's great. This is all brand new. And being able to take that, really, that cliched leap of faith that that God requires, even if it's something that we've been preparing for years, you still have to actually do the thing. Yeah. And there had been times that I was like, I don't know that I can do that. And it was even worse now. I was like, I'm going to go with this new organization. Like, I have two kids and a mortgage and like all this adult stuff that I didn't have when I was in my 20s and was just going to like walk away from stuff to go do ministry. Like, if this doesn't work, it's going to be bad. Being able to see that God meets us in our panic and in our what ifs. And, you know, if we throw a fleece out like Gideon did, that he's going to be gracious enough to make it wet or make it dry based on whatever our ridiculous begging is, to remind us that we can trust him. And so in all of that situation, that I had thought in my head that, you know, I've got this big, bad ministry that I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm going to go do this thing. And, you know, just this fearless going to go jump in, that when it came down to it, it really was more like a scared kid. And God had to say, you know, it's okay. You can do this. I've got your back. It's going to be fine. And when I did finally turn in my resignation at the school and say yes to Nate for coming on board with Revoice, there was this like combination of utter terror and a very settled peace all at the same time of like, okay, this is what he's been preparing me for. And then being able to look back and talking about that smoothing off edges and things, like if I had gone straight into this type of ministry work when I was 25, 26, when I originally was thinking, oh yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. And even after seminary, when I was 30 and started working briefly for an organization and was like, yep, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. If I had started then, it would not have been pretty. I mean, I wasn't prepared for it. I didn't have the graciousness. I didn't have the peace. I didn't have the trust in God that I wasn't ready to do the work. Like the instability of it is still kind of present, but I've started realizing that it's not so much instability as it is just the unknown. Yeah. And the fact that God has that, like, you know, if he is this omnipresent, he is past, present, and future, that I really do just need to walk in the understanding that wherever it is I'm going on this particular day or with this particular plan, he's already there. And I'm not going to make a plan or go in a direction that's going to completely throw off his plan, because he's already got it. He's got it under control.
That is the beauty of taking that leap of faith, is it puts you on the frontier edge of the unknown. And there's so much goodness in everything that you just shared. You know, the things that are just rising to the surface for me is this dynamic that we as people are so terrible at endings.
Yeah.
You know, like we can long for something, we can look towards something, we can work towards something,
right?
But then there is still a releasing and a surrender, and there's death that has to happen. You know, at the end of that 16 years, like you had to let go of a lot. And the new ministry could not be born. It could not, there couldn't be resurrection without death. Yeah. And yeah, you know, I just wonder how much better our lives would be if we became a little more comfortable with endings and being able to discern when endings need to happen.
Exactly.
And then the other thing that comes to mind is just God's kindness, you know, God's goodness to you to not give you your dreams when you wanted them, when it would have been a nightmare.
Yeah,
but exactly. Instead, he carried you along, and doesn't he do that for all of us, you know? And his timing is perfect. And in his perfect timing, he leads us like a good shepherd. So thank you for sharing that. And you kind of towards the end talked about this need to be present to God. He's already there. Yeah. He knows it all. He's got me, and I need to be present to him. Could you talk to us about some ways that you are staying present to Jesus right now? What are What are some things in your life that's helping you stay grounded in Jesus with all of the unknowns that you mentioned?
Yeah. A couple of things that I've had to add in to that, aside from these two great groups of friends and support that I have, is intentional professional types of support. And I've joked for years, everyone should have a therapist, and I didn't have a consistent one myself. So that was a lot of do as I say, not as I do, which was part of that, that God needed to kind of clean away. But in the last year or so, I've started seeing a therapist on a regular basis and have begun with a spiritual director who is giving me, between those two people who have very much outside perspective, being able to look into what's going on, the opportunity to make sure that I can take that every once in a while 40,000 foot view of everything, because I can get so caught up in what's going on, like in the trenches of ministry battle, that I don't ever see what else is going on. And being able to have that intentional time a couple of times, two or three times a month, of being able to just come up for air, look and see what's going on. What's the big picture? How are you doing personally? What's self-care look like? What are issues that are coming up in ministry? Because when you're working full-time in ministry with sexual minorities, you're talking about heavy stuff a lot of times, and it brings up issues in my own life. And so having people who can ask about those things and that I can talk with freely, being able to process that, has been a huge part of being able to make this transition more smoothly. Because there have been, I mean, there's just been times that things have come up and I'm like, I don't know that I can do this. Like, if this is what ifs of, you know, rocking some old school DC talk, but that, you know, what if I stumble? What if I fall? You know, how am I going to make sure that I don't get to a burned out place where that seems like my only option, or it seems like a good option? You know, how can I be faithful in what God has called me to now that I'm here? How am I actually going to do this in a sustained way? And so having that strong support system of people who can speak into my life from that perspective has been a huge part of being able to make sure that this is something that I can hopefully do long-term.
I love that. Yeah. There's so much desire to do what God calls us to do. And then it comes and we're like, oh boy, I'm not ready to do this. And then from there, it's like, okay, you know, if we're wise and if we're desperate enough, probably a combination of the two, and we're like,
absolutely,
who do I need to get in my corner?
I have to build a team.
That's right.
You got to have a team.
How have you experienced Jesus through that counselor, through that spiritual direction? Like, what, and you can answer that in any way you want, maybe during those times with them or maybe afterwards. Like, what has been some of the like tangible experience with Jesus that's come out of that?
I think the most important part for me has been that idea of being able to see and experience the body of Christ, not in some like weird metaphorical way, but the literal believers, fellow sojourners walking through this life, of being able to say, this is my opportunity to be Jesus and to need Jesus. Anybody that's done counseling kind of realizes that, like, about the time that you're like, I can't do this anymore, you have an appointment. That it just kind of is the way the cycle works once you've been doing it for a while. And so having those like tired kind of moments of, I've been in this heavy, heavy work and I need some quiet time to kind of stop this madness and be able to rest and to think and to pray and to contemplate. And every time that appointment or that meeting is exactly what I needed in order to be able to go on with what was coming next. And often it's been something that like I'll go into something thinking this is what I need to figure out. And like 45 seconds into a meeting, we're talking about something totally different, go off on a tangent. And then I get done and I'm like, well, but we didn't fix what it is I came in here to fix. And then, you know, it's like a day or two later, whatever it was we talked about ends up being something that I need for either a personal situation or a professional situation. And so seeing how he works and that his sovereignty and his providence even applies in intentional conversations with friends and with counselors, he guides even our conversations when we don't know that we need it. He makes sure that we have what we need before we get there. And so being able to recognize that and to see that has been a huge help in just experiencing and reminding me of the closeness of Jesus as we're doing this thing.
You know, as you describe that experience of Jesus through the body of Christ, the thing that just comes to my mind that is so beautiful is it's not a counselor or director's amazing insight or questions or wisdom bombs that they drop, but it is this idea of if you have a good counselor or director, that they are creating a space for you to come, and they're sharing their own presence of Christ in them with you. And that it is that experience of almost like this safe harbor, this respite, where you can come away once a month or so and kind of just get that perspective, get recharged, and then head back out into what you're doing. And I think that's so helpful, especially if folks are like, I think I need counseling or I think I need direction. There can be so much anxiety around that. And, you know, when I start out sessions with folks, like I can see the anxiety in the first 5 minutes as they're like talking about what they're wanting to share. And like, it always starts out with this tension and anxiety, which always ends up settling into this like calmness of remembering, oh yeah, God is with us. Right. I'm okay. We're okay. what would you say to someone who's struggling to even think about getting help in the way that you're describing right now? How would you encourage them to use your words from earlier, take that leap of faith with a counselor or a director?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, especially if you're so used to doing it all on your own. That idea of being vulnerable before other people can be fearful and even painful, but being able to just do that thing that if the Lord is leaving you with an unsettled feeling with that, and you keep thinking, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And that is where you keep going to just set up one session. That was my hang up for a while, was I need to find the perfect therapist so that when I do that one meeting, we are going to be together, like we're going to retire together. Like I was putting that kind of pressure on an intake appointment. And when I began to realize that intake for counseling and even for spiritual direction is it's like a speed dating or a first date kind of thing, that there's no pressure, there's no commitment. You are just getting to know one another and seeing if it might be a good fit. And if it's not, the temptation can be to say, well, I tried it and it didn't work. And that's the part that you've got to remember. It just didn't, you didn't click with that person. Just keep looking and find somebody else. I mean, that was my experience with looking for a counselor. I went to two or three people and was like, you know, y'all are really cool people, but this isn't, you know, that's not the connection I'm looking for. And the best thing about it was both of them were like, well, here are some suggestions of some other people that I think might work, you know, based on what you said, these might be good fits, and actually referred me to other people. And a good counselor or director is going to do that. So use them to do that, that job. That's what they were trained to do, is they know that they're not going to be the perfect fit for everybody. So give yourself a break. to be able to find the person that you are going to be able to click with. Because if you don't have a good relationship with them, they're not going to be able to help you.
Great wisdom there for all of us, which really ties into, I think, what you've been sharing this entire episode is we just need people.
Yeah.
life is so hard, and doing ministry is hard, and we all have our own unique challenges. We all stumble and fall in many ways, and we all need others. So exactly. Thank you for being someone who models the endurance of doing hard things. But thank you also for modeling, showing your neediness and being vulnerable and reaching out to others to help you carry the burdens that you need carried. So I'm grateful for you joining us today. And thank you for being you, my friend.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us today for The Art of Stability. Check out the show notes for links to get connected with Becca on Twitter, as well as links to her work at Revoiced and The Pelican Project. I'll also put a link to an excellent article she just wrote for Christianity Today called "Side B Christians Like Me Are an Asset, Not a Threat." The Art of Stability is a production of Steadfast Ministries. There I offer spiritual direction, sabbatical coaching, and workshops, which all help you stay grounded in Christ to go the distance in life and work. For these and other free resources to help you grow in emotional and spiritual health, be sure to check out Steadfast Ministries' website at steadfastmin.com. That's steadfastmin.com. The Art of Stability cover art was created by Brian Bim. Music created and performed by Rob Main. And the music was recorded and produced by the Asterisk Company. I hope that you're enjoying these episodes and that they're helping you to be able to sustain the instability of life. If you're enjoying them, would you please consider writing a review or sharing episodes with friends so that more folks can join us next time for The Art of Stability.